Okay, so you're here because you want to get a real handle on single parent families, right? We've gone through a really interesting piece from psychology today to help with that.
Yeah, it's quite insightful.
Our goal for this deep dive is, to move past the usual assumptions. We want to pull out the key stuff about what really impacts kids in these households.
And it's a big part of the picture today.
It really is. Pew Research and the U.S. Census say over 20% of kids under 18 in the U.S. are in single-parent homes.
That's more than one in five.
Exactly. And interestingly, women are heading those households about three times more often than men.
Right. So lots to unpack.
Definitely. Let's dive into what the research actually tells us.
Well, what's immediately striking, I think, is how many studies find something consistent. When you look at the general well-being of children, the differences between kids raised by single mothers and those in, say, two-parent biological, adoptive, or even step-parent families, they're often not as significant as people might think.
Right. It really pushes back against some common ideas, doesn't it?
It does.
I saw one study that looked at the real nitty-gritty stuff, grades, how kids get along with siblings, friends. And across all these different family types, the results were, well, pretty similar.
Yeah, quite level.
But here's a finding that honestly made me stop and think. A survey of teenagers. It actually found that teens living with parents who had always been single and who were in multi-generational
Yeah,
homes,
I remember that one.
they reported the highest sense of well-being out of everyone. What's that about?
That's a really key point, isn't it? It kind of suggests that maybe, that consistent, extended family network, it offers a really powerful buffer, a strong support system.
Okay, so like grandparents, aunts, uncles being around.
Exactly. It
Do
makes
you...
you wonder if maybe society's focus has been a bit too narrow just on that nuclear family idea.
And maybe we should be thinking more about supporting those wider kinship networks.
Perhaps. And, to tackle that question head on that a lot of people have, can children of single parents fare just as well as those with married parents? The answer seems to be yes, absolutely. In fact, the evidence often suggests they're better off in a stable single-parent home than stuck in a marriage that's full of conflict.
That really flips the script on the usual narrative.
It does, and it goes even further sometimes. Some research indicates kids raised by one divorced parent occasionally have better outcomes than those whose parent remarried.
Really? So remarriage isn't automatically better.
Apparently not always. But it's so important to remember, you just can't look at the household structure alone and predict how a child will turn out. It's way more complicated.
Right, so many other factors involved.
Exactly. And what's also really interesting is hearing from adults who grew up in single-parent homes. Some of the positives they mention are quite surprising.
Like what?
Well, a recurring theme is feeling they actually benefited from having parents who were maybe less hyper-involved than some peers with stay-at-home parents.
Less hovered over, maybe.
Kind of. They felt they had more space to, develop independence.
That's fascinating. It makes you think about how even good intentions can sometimes be, well, a bit much. Now, the research also brings up a concern. You sometimes hear this idea of a single parent getting like too close to their child. Enmeshment, maybe.
And the crucial thing to understand there, based on the research, is that this isn't really an issue specific to single parents. When a parent leans too heavily on a child for emotional support, it seems to stem more from the parent's own unmet needs, maybe loneliness, low self-esteem, that kind of thing.
So it's less about being a single parent and more about the parent's individual emotional state.
Exactly. It's about boundaries blurring, where the parent might be looking for a confidant in the child rather than maintaining that healthy parent-child dynamic.
Got it. So the parent's own well-being is key, no matter the family setup. Okay, so the research does show some figures on things like substance use.
Yes, there was a large national survey, over 22,000 teenagers, I think. It did find a slightly higher rate among kids from single-parent homes, about 5.7%, compared to 4.5% for married-parent homes.
Okay, a difference, but maybe not huge.
Right. And it's really vital to stress, as the research does, the huge majority of kids in single-parent families are doing just fine. They're thriving. That small statistical difference doesn't define their experience.
And correlation isn't causation, right? There could be other factors at play.
Precisely. Other underlying things could contribute to that slight gap.
And when you talk about more serious problems in kids, the research is pretty clear. These aren't necessarily because of single parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Often the difficulties were there before the family structure changed, or they happened for totally separate reasons. There were studies that followed kids whose parents later divorced.
Yes, longitudinal studies.
And they found the kids' difficulties often started way back when the parents were still married, which really underlines that point.
It really shows how complex child development is. Okay, so shifting gears a bit to the challenges single-parent families often face.
Yeah.
Finances are a big one.
Yeah, definitely. The research includes some, well, pretty stark numbers there.
Yeah.
Bureau of Labor Statistics data on the working poor.
Right.
And U.S. Census figures show nearly 30% of single mothers are living in poverty. That's almost one in three. A huge challenge.
It is. And when you factor in the sheer cost of raising a child, what was it, estimated around $234,000?
Something like that, yeah. Huge.
Having that entire burden on one income,
yeah,
it naturally makes financial strain much more likely.
And those money worries often mean the parent has to work, right?
Mm.
Which then leads to worries about not spending enough time with the kids.
Absolutely. A common concern.
Yeah.
But the research actually tackles that directly. What's quite reassuring, actually, is research suggesting that kids with working mothers, even infants and toddlers, generally do just as well behaviorally and academically as kids with stay-at-home moms.
Okay, that's good to hear.
And interestingly, one study specifically in single-parent families found kids whose mothers worked actually had better academic scores and fewer behavior problems compared to those whose mothers didn't work.
Wow. So working might actually have some benefits in that context.
It seems possible. It could certainly help ease some of the guilt many single working parents feel.
That's really valuable info. Okay, another big one that comes up after a breakup is contact with the other parent, often the dad.
Right, the non-resident parent. And the stats there are, well, pretty concerning.
Yeah.
The U.S. Census Bureau found that almost half of kids living with their mom don't see their dad regularly just 2 years after the parents split up.
Nearly half. That's a lot.
It is. And the research really stresses how positive it is for kids when the father stays interested and involved.
So maintaining that connection is crucial.
Hugely.
Mm-hmm.
And the research even suggests practical ways, like the parent the child lives with actively helping the other parent stay involved,
mm-hmm.
you know, supporting school pickups, helping coordinate activities, basically seeing that supporting that relationship helps the child.
Right. Fostering that co-parenting relationship benefits everyone, especially the kids. Okay. So putting all this together, what are the key sort of actionable tips for single parents? The research offers some solid advice, right?
Absolutely. The big picture message is that stability and security are just fundamental for raising successful kids. Doesn't matter what the family looks like.
Stability and security. Got it.
And then it gets practical.
Yeah.
Things like setting clear house rules, making sure they're consistent.
Makes sense.
Then making a real effort to give each child some undivided attention, even just 10 minutes a day, totally focused on them. Those little moments add up.
10 minutes. That feels doable, but probably powerful. And consistency seems key there, right? With rules and boundaries.
Definitely. Setting fair and consistent boundaries is highlighted, along with having predictable schedules and routines. It sounds basic, maybe, but it creates that essential sense of stability for kids.
Routine helps kids feel secure.
Exactly. And also, giving yourself a break, lowering expectations, letting go of trying to be the perfect parent because, well, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, managing expectations is huge.
And tied to that is self-compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, releasing guilt, ditching any feelings of being a victim or a martyr about it.
And ignoring judgmental people. I bet that's in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Tuning out the noise. And then building a really strong support network.
Yeah, that support system feels critical, like finding childcare, friends, family, neighbors.
Your village, essentially.
Yeah.
And the advice to try and get along with the ex, if possible, for cooperative co-parenting, that comes up again and again as being so beneficial for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. If it's possible.
And definitely looking after yourself, prioritizing self-care, you know, decent food, trying to get exercise, sleep the basics, but they're crucial. Maybe even meditation or mindfulness.
Can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Exactly. And finally, not being afraid to seek help. Therapy is suggested if things feel overwhelming. A good family therapist can offer really valuable support.
Okay. So really the big picture here, pulling it all together from this deep dive, the structure of the family itself, that's not the main thing that decides how a child does.
Not at all. It's much more about things like, is the environment stable? Is it predictable? Is there low conflict? Is the parent engaged and loving? Those are the things that matter more.
Way more significant factors.
Absolutely. So while single-parent families might face, you know, some unique challenges, the evidence really strong. Kids in these homes can absolutely thrive. The potential is definitely there.
Yeah, they can and they do flourish.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe something to leave you thinking about is this. What biases might we still hold, maybe unconsciously, about single-parent families?
Mm.
And how could focusing more as a society on providing real support and resources for all kinds of families actually lead to even better outcomes for all our kids?
A really important question to ponder.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.